Rural Focus around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Hello, I'm Troy Stockton, and here we go with another Rural Focus podcast, providing you the most comprehensive coverage of agriculture and agribusiness issues affecting the rural communities here in WA and also across some parts of Australia as well, and coming your way for you very soon. Going to catch up with Chris Hartley from West Coast Livestock, find out and see how the Mushe sheep sale went yesterday. Did you go along? Have you brought a sheep or two? Also, very soon, catching up with Elizabeth Brennan, the Northern Wheat Belt and the Gascoyne region are looking for locals to be a part of a wonderful thing that's happening very soon. And tell you what, we're going to catch up with the CEO from the Farmers for Climate Change in Fiona Davis because, well, Fiona a couple of days ago came out saying that regional communities should be excited but not concerned about what Scott Morrison and the National parties are doing, signing up for the 2050 net zero emissions target. Be a very interesting chat, I'm sure, with the Farmers for Climate Action CEO, Fiona Davis, very soon. And we're kicking off today's podcast with Grain Growers Chair, Brett Hoskins. Mate, I need you to get your crystal ball out.
I'll give it a go.
Shine that ball up, mate, because I want to ask you, what will be the cropping mix on Aussie farms, say, in around 10 years' time?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, Troy. I think a couple of things we know for sure. Wheat will still be there. I really struggle to see a future where we're not growing wheat in Australia. It's a crop that suits our soil type, our growing conditions, and the way we farm as well. Barley's probably not far behind it, although we've seen some trade issues with barley into China. It's still a mainstay of Australian cropping systems, and we've got a big demand. We've got a demand of sort of 700,000 to 800,000 tonnes of malt barley just here domestically in Australia, not to mention, you know, the dairy farms, the feedlots, the piggeries, the chooks that all rely on barley crops being there and are kind of an available source of food. Then it starts to get interesting. You know, we've got our canola, which I would assume we're still growing our canola in 10 years' time, but we're starting to see a few other crop types like manola, and that's starting to push into that space. And as we're looking for healthier food and that sort of thing as consumers, then it'll be interesting to see whether there's any movement there. I think we'll still have canola, but whether it gets replaced or added to by other crop types as well. What we're seeing, and it's really, really exciting, is the rise of pulses. We've seen over the last sort of 5 to 10 years in our cropping systems an increase in pulse production, which is really good. So things like lentils, chickpeas, faba beans, as we're seeing a growing population in sort of some of those subcontinent countries like India and Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and that they've got this insatiable appetite for pulses in a lot of their food. So they've become really, really important and big market. And as we're getting better at growing things like lentils across more soil types and more cropping parts of Australia, we're going to see a rise in those types of pulses that actually help our soil management, our nitrogen inputs into our soil, our weed control, but at the same time can actually generate a really good return for growers as well. So the other missing piece in there is the rise of pulse protein. And this is something that even I'm a little new to, but we're seeing it more and more, a lot of these high protein foods. So they're substitutes for a hamburger or a sausage or whatever.
Yeah.
But they've got their techniques right. So that the products they're producing, although they contain no meat, they're made purely from plant-based products. They actually taste like meat. They feel like meat. They behave like meat.
Yep.
You can burn them on the barbecue the same as you burn a sausage on the barbecue. So all those things that can't believe it's butter. It's almost like I can't believe it's not meat. So, I think that's going to be a really exciting space that we're absolutely going to see a lot of innovation in the next 10 years as well.
All right. So in your eyes, wheat and barley at the top of the pops?
Yep, absolutely. Wheat and barley are top of the pops and will be for a long time. But what's grown around them and what crops are sort of companion plantings for those crops, that's where the exciting things and the innovation, and both on farm and through our processing, through our breeding, there's a whole heap of different players in that innovation space that will make a really big difference. And who knows, we might even have robots harvesting them or planting them for us. We'll wait and see on that one.
I was going to say to you, I'm sure technology, it's changing day by day right now, so I'm sure in 10 years' time it's going to be changing as well.
Yeah, we already see robotics, you know, creeping into agriculture, and we're starting to see it with sprayers that kind of just work their way across your farm, and if the weather's not right, then they'll pull up and, you know, and then turn themselves back on again as soon as the weather conditions are suitable.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing a lot of growers now in the past 6 to 12 months are starting to say, you know what, they're not far off getting to a price point where I might be interested. Oh. Whereas 2 or 3 years ago, I wasn't hearing that at all.
No.
So,
okay.
You know, I'm assuming in 10 years' time, maybe instead of me, they'll replace me with a robot. I don't know.
Well, it could be both of us, mate. It could be both of us. Who knows? But, yeah. And I suppose the other thing, like it is now, would be the weather, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, history's told us that the weather and the climate's going to be different. You know, what we do know is that Australian farmers are incredibly resilient, more resilient than I think any of us ever realised. And they will adapt their farming systems. They will change their management systems to cope with whatever weather conditions are thrown at them.
Mm.
But hopefully we're a little bit better at forecasting it yet again. we're already pretty good, but I reckon we can get even better. So, you know, we're going to know a lot more about what we do and what our climate does and how our soils will respond, and all of that knowledge has got to make us better farmers.
All right. We are chatting with Grain Growers Chair Brett Hoskins. Brett's saying that looks like wheat and barley will still be top of the pops in, you know, up to around 10 years' time. How are things at Grain Growers, mate?
Yeah, we're ticking along pretty well. We're in that exciting end of the year. So headers are rolling. In northern WA, they're rolling. In Queensland, the harvest is just starting to cross that Queensland-New South Wales border at the moment. And what we're hearing is that yields are pretty good in a lot of cases, some better than expected. Obviously, we're going to always hit those dry patches as well. So there will be a few disappointed ones. The really, really good news is that the quality is incredible this year. So we know we're going to have a really marketable crop, a crop that the world's going to crave getting their hands on. So it's pretty exciting time of year for growers.
From Grain Growers, Chair Brett Hoskin. Brett, thanks for your time today, mate.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thanks for having us on, Troy.
Rural Focus. Around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
It is the Rural Focus podcast, and thanks for joining us on the Listener app today. Hey, time right now to catch up with Travis from the Class Harvest Centre there in Katanning. Now, the Katanning show was on last week, and I know Travis and the team were there. Trav, hello to you. How did the show go for you last week?
Oh, look, it was really, really good. I didn't actually spend that much time on the stall, but our two salesmen, Paul and Cameron, didn't. And they had a really good weekend. The weather couldn't have been better. And the interest was amazing.
Fantastic.
We tend to go to the smaller shows to show a bit of support and pick up the odd inquiry. But it was really, really, really busy over the weekend. It was great.
Mate, what are you hearing from farmers? Is there much frost?
Look, it's hard. Obviously, that's a little bit regional specific as well.
Yeah.
Frost's always a bugger. You don't know what it's there until you get into harvest. It can look really bad and go well, and vice versa. I don't think it's probably as bad a year as we've had in the past, but yeah, it's always a time will tell at harvest time.
Yeah, for sure. Now, mate, I wanted to speak with you this morning. Tractors and telehandlers.
Yeah, so I think we spoke last time about the 7700 Lexi and Ozpro demo that was running around this year, but I wanted to go in a bit of a different direction. Harvest is on everyone's mind at the moment, but I mean, we don't just sell harvesting equipment. We sell top quality tractors and telehandlers too, so it's good to talk about those as well.
And I'm sure that they're, I've heard reports that farmers are buying tractors left, right and centre, mate, so hopefully it's the same there in Katanning.
Absolutely. Yeah. We haven't seen it slow, that's for sure. We've just had literally truckloads of stock. We had a few on the boat that went to Melbourne. They've all arrived this week with the last of our combine fronts. So, we've got good stock of the Class Scorpion 741 and 746 telehandlers. They're our most popular models for general farm use and for hay handling.
Yep.
Those machines, both 7 metre reach and 4.1 and 4.6 respective lift capacities.
Mm-hmm.
Again, most common seller, 136 horsepower Deutz motor at the heart of that.
Wow.
Very power hydrostatic ground drive, which is really popular with the cockies. 40k an hour transport speed and top quality Dana Spicer diffs and axles. So top quality from front to back, very solid machines, stand up to the rigors of the hay plants and good hard farm use.
So I suppose for those farmers who are probably out and about at the moment, mate, probably on their phones or whatever, can they check it out on your website?
Yeah, they can. So they can find us on Facebook and at classharvestcentre.com.au, and they can always drop in at 17 Creek Street and catch up with us as well. We've got all the tractors lined up this week at the front as well. We've got a couple of the Ariane 620Cs. So they're 140 horsepower front-end loader tractors, 16-speed power shift, PDO rear linkage, 4-point cab suspension. We step up into the 800 series with our Class Axion 870, so they're 295 horsepower. CVT transmission, which the farmers love. That one's got front and rear linkage and front and rear PDO. All our tractors from our 800 series up are open steering interface, so we can put Trimble, John Deere, any brand of steering you like in there. So that's really, really opens it up for the farmers. And the bigger brothers, the Class Axion 930s, we have a couple of those in stock as well. 350 horsepower, front linkage, rear linkage and rear rear PDO, six remotes, CVT transmission again, 50k an hour. And we just have one of their big brothers, the Class Zerion 5000, heading off this week down to its new home at South Stirling. So that's our big four-wheel drive tractor. So it's been very busy here at Class Harvest Centre, Kutanning.
And what about finance, mate? Can you help out the Cockies with finance?
Absolutely. Yep. So we've got some really good finance packages available at the moment on hay equipment, harvesting equipment, and on tractors and telehandlers. All they need to do is give us a call on 98218900, or once again, find us on Facebook, classharvestcentre.com.au, or drop in and see us at 17 Creek Street, Kutanning.
All right, go ahead and do that. Travis from Class Harvest Centre there in Kutanning. Mate, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Troy.
Rural Focus. Around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Time right now to catch up with Chris Wallingham from Nutrient with today's Southwest Report. Chris, hello there to you.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Still a little bit wet your way, mate.
Yes, particularly about 10 o'clock when I started selling yesterday. It seemed to want to come down, which was rather unpleasant. I know. Valuable for some and not for others. We've got blokes that are running, pasture operations, are delighted with the rain, and those guys that are trying to get silage off are frustrated because grass is starting to mature and go to head, and they can't get on their paddocks. But anyway, pretty typical. Southwest.
I was going to say, pretty much either too much or not enough sometimes, mate. Yeah, it's just not the right amount. But market report from yesterday.
Yes, we had just short of 500 cattle yarded yesterday. Wow. mixed quality yarding, particularly in the heavier steers and heifers. However, the store yearlings and the beginnings of the weaner steers and heifers were outstanding quality and sold accordingly. Cows were back 10 cents with the absence of a Eastern States processor's order, but still all in all, pretty good sale.
Right.
Dairy steers over 600 kilos sold to 280 cents, 5 to 600 kilo dairy steers to 338. Export beef steers over 600 kilos, 320 to 336. 500 to 600 kilo steers, 308 to 426. And 4 to 500 kilo steers, 410 to 455 cents. Store yearling heifers, 330 to 400 kilos, were 480 to 520 cents. Beef heifers in slaughter condition over 540 kilos from 356 to 386 cents. 400 to 540 kilos, 380 to 528 cents. And store yearling heifers, 330 to 400 kilos. Big range here, 412 to 538 cents.
Yeah.
The higher range, obviously, the lower weights. And there was a little bit of quality involved in those pricings as well.
Fantastic.
Steer veal is over 330 kilos, 612 to 648 cents, 280 to 330 kilos to 654, and one pen under 280 kilos to 658 cents. Heifer vealers over 330 kilos to 566, 280 to 330 kilos, 594 to 600 cents. Beef cows in score 3-4 condition, as I said earlier, came back 10 cents. They sold from 308 to 328 cents, although we did offer three pens of preg-tested in calf cows on a live weight basis, and they made 364 to 378 cents. Score 5 cows from 256 to 322. Dairy cows, 280 to 290 cents. Bulls, 300 to 320. They were also back 10 to 15 cents with the absence of that processor order. And that rounded off the yarding yesterday.
Right. Yeah, so it sounds like a pretty good market day there yesterday, mate.
Yeah, it still was. Even though those prices were back, they're still exceptional rates. There's no doubt about that.
Now, I believe you've got a couple of sales coming up very soon.
We have. Well, we have our monthly store sale on the 5th of November. So we were going to present 1,700 cattle we have nominated for that, and that's 1 p.m. on Friday, the 5th of November. There's a little bit of everything for everyone. There's beef steers, beef heifers, first-cross cattle, dairy cattle. There's some mated heifers, unmated heifers, and cows and calves. That'll be a big day at Boyner. And just finally, Troy, I'd like to mention, as I did a couple of weeks ago, that the weaner sales program at Boyne Up Sale Yards is about to commence. We're a fortnight from it today, so we start on the 10th of November. For the producers that are wishing to nominate, please do nominate. You need to you need to have your calves weaned probably in the next couple of days, with a minimum of 10 days, but I personally like 14-plus days. Yeah. So, the sales program will commence in a fortnight's time, and it'll be weekly on a Wednesday at 1 p.m.
All right, and let's hope they'll be nice and busy for you, mate.
I think they will be, mate.
I'm sure that they will be, all reports around that way too. So so that's on the 10th of November.
Right.
Anything else before I let you go this morning, mate?
I think that's enough for your listeners. I hope everyone has a good week, and we'll chat again next week.
Rural Focus, around regional WA, your voice of agriculture.
And it's time right now to catch up with the lovely Liz Brennan. Liz, hello there to you.
G'day, Troy. How you going?
Not too bad. Now, you're after some participants around a couple of regions around WA.
We certainly are. So we've got the Drought Resilience Leaders Development Program kicking off in February, March next year in the Northern Wheat Belt and the Gascoyne Murchison. So we're looking for movers and shakers in both those regions.
Okay, so what can you tell us about this Resilience Leaders Development Program?
What we're looking for is people, as I mentioned before, that are up to stuff in their communities, that are looking to create vibrant, resilient communities in the face of, you know, things like drought, climate change, I guess, and all those economic and not just economic, but social factors that kind of come around that as well. So we're looking for 40 participants in both regions. It's an 8-day program in 3 sessions over 8 weeks in that Feb and March kind of program. So that's what we're up for.
Right. So one of the areas that you're looking after, the Gascoyne Murchison, I'm guessing that takes in what, Exmouth, Carnarvon, Mount Magnet?
Yep. And all the way up to, I guess, just shy of Newman.
Right.
And if you're outside of those regions, I guess it's really, we're less concerned about a geographic boundary and more about if you're willing to make an impact in the region. And I guess the magic of this program is that it's bringing together like-minded movers and shakers that are building upon the resilience that communities already have. It's not about reinventing the wheel. It's about saying, what do we got that's good? How can we make it better?
And what about for the Northern Wheat Belt? Is that like Northampton, Southern Cross, Durian Bay area?
You're all over it. And then kind of up to, I guess, what you'd call the natural Northern Wheat Belt, Dally, Wongan, that kind of area. So I guess that would be the heart of it. But that whole northern ag region, I guess you'd say.
A couple of big areas.
Yeah. A few K's in there.
Bit of driving for you.
Yeah. So, well, it's actually, we're going to be hosting the programs in situ, so they're going to be in both locations. So we're looking at two locations within for the two face-to-face sessions, and the third one's online. So there won't be too much travel for those in the region. We'll be bringing people to centralised locations. There's also a travel allowance to cover for any out-of-pocket expenses as well.
So this is open to all industry sectors. Everyone's welcome to get on in.
Yeah. Not just ag. I mean, whilst, you know, drought often, or drought and floods and, you know, you hail the whole bit, cyclones up towards, you know, that northern ag region. You know, whilst that has an impact on the ag industry, it's not just ag. Like, the whole community feels it. So this is, it's not just for ag. It's for non-for-profit, small business, those community volunteers, the lifeblood of small communities. We're really keen to get some diversity in our groups as well. So obviously, broad spectrum of genders, broad spectrum of backgrounds, cultural diversity. We'd love to get some First Nations people in our program as well, because they, those with a different background offer even more unique perspectives. And it's actually, you know, that's what we're going to need to be able to create vibrant communities and futures for the region.
No, I believe too there could be some grants a part of this as well.
That's exactly it. So for those that participate, so the 40 participants in each of the programs, part of that is developing up project ideas to kind of build on that community resilience that's already in existence. And so we've got some grants of about $4,000 per participant. You can pool them as well. So if you've got great project idea, you can kind of aggregate it and put it towards a project idea. So it's not just you get the skills and you get shoved out the door. It's you get skills and you get the financial backing to be able to actually enact some of these really awesome ideas you've got as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, applications, they're open now?
They are, and for about another month. So they close on the 21st of November. Right. So the application process isn't onerous. Jump online to rural-leaders.org.au and you'll find a tab there around the Drought Resilience Leaders Development Program. And then you'll see the two regions in WA. So there's 12 regions across Australia. WA's got two of them. and you click on the particular tab to apply. And it's really straightforward. Yeah. If you've got an issue, I mean, my contact details are there. Feel free to give me a buzz. So we're really looking for those kind of movers and shakers that are committed to resilient communities for regional WA.
So there you go. So if you're in the Gascoyne Murchison or through the Northern Wheat Belt, there you go. They're looking for participants. A part of the program, as Liz did mention, yeah, be a part of it. And hey, why not? You've got a good, just under a month or so to get your nominations in. So go ahead, yep. Or your applications in anyway. Don't have to nominate anybody, just get your applications in. That's the main thing. So what's that address again to go to?
rural-leaders.org.au, and you'll find it on a tab there. And come join. I mean, I've been a member and a fellow with the Australian Rural Leadership Foundation for a number of years now, and I love connecting with people that are up to stuff in the regions. We've got a massive national network, and by participating in this program, you'll be able to tap into, you know, some of the, leaders high up the food chain that you don't even realise you can have pick up the phone and have a yarn with to tackle a wicked problem or, network, whatnot. That's the magic of the alumni with the foundation.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And how is things with the Australian Rural Leadership Foundation?
Sensational. Yeah. Getting this program, well, it's actually great because I was involved in a program in the Southwest last year, and it was so magic to see leaders in the Southwest and Great Southern regions coming together to kind of tackle some of those wicked problems facing that Southwest region.
Yep.
So be able to offer a program like this to, you know, my heartland in the Northern Wheat Belt and then also up in the Gascoyne Murchison is just sensational. It tickles me pink to be able to bring together people just as equally as passionate about regional communities as I am. So it's just sensational.
Rural Focus around regional WA, your voice of agriculture.
Well, the big news over the past couple of days is that Australia has now committed to net zero emissions by 2050. And I did catch up with Farmers for Climate Action CEO Fiona Davis. Fiona says that regional communities should be excited and not concerned with this. Fiona, hello there to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice that you can join us today. Hey, what are you hearing from farmers? Are they wanting this to happen or they're not wanting it to happen? What are you hearing?
We're hearing that farmers are really happy to see this first step. So they're really welcoming this recognition of the important role that they can play, that agriculture can play in transitioning to a low emissions economy.
So Farmers for Climate Action, what can you tell us? Because I think you represent plenty of farmers, don't you?
We represent over 6,000 farmers across Australia. So we've grown a lot over the last 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
So, and we've got the farmers within our network want to see this strong action from the government.
Yep.
And they want to be part of the solution. What it is important to remember, though, right at the moment is we need to see these deep emission cuts this decade across all sectors of the economy if farmers and regional Australians are really to take advantage of the opportunity in front of them to create industry and jobs.
Is Scott Morrison right by saying that it was practical and hopefully Australia can get it right?
I think, you know, we're yet to see a lot of that detail. Yeah, so I'm keen to see what that plan really looks like. What we'll be looking for, you know, a part of a plan that seriously encourages renewable industries and boosts regional jobs this decade to protect our farmers and farming families.
And how are things there with Farmers for Climate Action?
Oh, we're very good, thank you. It feels like, you know, we're starting to see this change. We're seeing this recognition from our political leaders that we need to set targets, to set plans, and start moving forward. And we'll be looking to see more ambition for this decade. But our farmers are very encouraged by this first step and are looking forward to seeing these next steps.
Yes, I'm sure that they're looking to see what happens over the next week or so, and I'm sure you'll be right in the middle of it there, Fiona.
We'll be watching very closely, absolutely.
Hey, Fiona, good luck, and hopefully we can chat again soon when we hear more of what comes from the federal government on this.
Love to chat. Thanks so much, Troy.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be very interesting indeed, and well, that's it for today's Rural Focus podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Come back again tomorrow. We'll do it all again right here on the Listener app. Tell your friends, tell your family about it. Get them involved, especially if they are wanting to know what is happening around agricultural and agribusiness circles right across not just WA, but also Australia-wide as well. And don't forget too, you can also catch the Rural Focus radio show 9 to 11 weekdays on Triple M. We'll catch you back again soon.